This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning, everyone. Senator Chris Langer from District 25. I'm the Senate Majority Leader. Thank you for being here today.
Good morning, Representative Lee Quam, House Majority Leader. Glad to be with you today, and I'm sure you've got some questions for us.
State Senator Jim Boland, District 16, the farthest southeastern portion of South Dakota. I look forward to answering your questions today. Thank you.
Archbishop, District 12, Assistant Majority Leader. And I'm happy to be here, and we've been busy this morning. Sorry we were late.
Any talks about any kind of window into potential revenue coming in to the state? I know we're getting close to that moment. Any idea thus far?
I think we're still waiting for some actual official numbers. We're getting a lot closer, though.
To the best of my knowledge, those numbers will be available between now and Valentine's Day, which is the 14th next week. So that's my understanding. Thank you.
I would agree, and I think like at the next press conference, we'll have a lot better handle on the numbers. I believe that's when the time frame should come through.
The only thing I can say is that's what Christie's had indicated to us.
Were you surprised this week when Governor Noem sent David Wiest up to testify against the Deadwood Gaming or the Deadwood legal betting resolution?
Thank you for that question. I guess I will take that. I think it was completely based on a revenue number. As far as what I was told, when I listened to his reasoning, it was more related to how much money is that going to bring in and what is going to be the cost to the state. How many new employees are they going to have to do for regulatory items and that sort of thing. So I think that was the only reason for it.
And I would just say kind of the same. The interesting thing about the claim that the administration made is that this is not, it's not going to be too much gambling, it's going to be too little gambling to be able to justify the actual expense and extra regulatory requirements that will be needed if we do expand sports gambling strictly in Deadwood. So I think their numbers were actually pretty sound, and I guess that's why I voted against the bill.
Representative Quam, you were there as well. From what I understand, I was busy watching the witnesses, but I was told you were in the back of the room taking it in. Were you surprised at all?
I wasn't there for the whole thing. I just got in kind of for the end of the debate and just listened to it. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know where they were going to end up on that, which way that bill would go. So just listening, just getting some information.
It will not. You'll not see it on the floor today. We'll see it sometime next week.
Just a question on the pace and the tempo. Speaker Haugard told me on Wednesday that things needed to pick up, bills needed to get out of committee if we're to avoid a mess at the end of session. Just wondering what you see now that we're at the halfway point in your assessment of how the pace of session is going and needs to go.
Well, thanks for that question. I would agree. We need to, and it will pick up. I think our Senate committees are doing a fairly good job of moving their bills through, but definitely need to keep working. Our appropriators are working hard to make sure that they're on track and they're moving their agenda items forward as well.
And I'd just like to add as well is that the Senate, we are moving bills through on a very regular and I think measured pace. There's no real bottleneck at all in the Senate at the current time. Bills are moving through and we're processing them. Some are passed and some are not.
I guess at this point I'm not concerned about a bottleneck. I think everything's going good. We're able to, if we don't clear our calendar one day, we clear it the next. We certainly don't have a lot of bills that we need to deal with at this point. The committees are still very full. I think we had 8 bills in state affairs today. Several of those were withdrawn and or tabled, so that makes life a lot easier when that takes place. So I think we're doing well. We have a lot of bills to go through. I think I was looking at state affairs, and that was like, ooh, we may have to have a evening meeting to get all those through in the time frame we have, but we'll get it done.
I agree. We've been clearing the calendar, you know, most of the session, and I think from what I've been involved with in the committees I'm involved with, the 41st day is going to be a busy day.
My apologies on the House State Affairs. There was a bill, the House Bill 1041, one of the concealed carry pistol bills. What happened with that bill, and kind of what's the strategy behind some of the other ones that are still floating?
That was tabled, yes. And as far as the others, we just haven't scheduled those yet.
Like the industrial hemp bill got out of bag yesterday unanimously. Is there more appetite this session with the change in the farm bill for that bill?
Well, thank you for the question, and I certainly think there is. Obviously, we need to do it in the right way. I'm very much a proponent of this. There's, 25,000 different uses of industrial hemp. It's a $5 billion market, expected to move to a $10 to $12 billion market very, very quickly. Just a lot of different uses for it. But we have to do things right, too. We need to make sure that all the rules are properly put in place, and so we're working very closely with the people that we need to. Obviously, when the federal government was shut down, there was some information that we were not able to get, so there's some amendments been put on. There's talked about some more amendments possible as we get through this process. We'll just have to see how it shakes out. I think there's opportunity for business in South Dakota to take place with this. So I'm excited about the prospect of this, but with that said, it has to be done right where we know that it's going to work.
House taxation passed a bill that would take the contractor's excise tax from building CAFOs in the state and putting that money into local school districts. There's also a bill that would take some of that contractor's excise tax and give it to the counties for infrastructure improvements. What are your thoughts on that bill, and kind of what's the preferred what's more preferable, I guess, to where that money ends up?
Well, I guess that will probably end up with the full floor, what they decide is the best way to go. But, you know, schools are looking for more money. Counties need more, too. It's certainly worth having the dialogue and deciding if this is a viable thing to do.
And I'd just like to comment on that as well, is that I haven't really studied that bill. I just heard about it yesterday that it passed. But I would have some really big doubts about that, because in the Blue Ribbon Task Force of two, three years ago, we really tried to equalize revenue so that geographical money you get because of your geography in a particular location in the state, like from way stations and things like that, was the idea behind it was to distribute it equally amongst the schools. And we're on a 5-year process of 20% step downs to get to that point. You start changing that around and moving money because of a CAFO in your county or in your school district, that starts to upset that balance. And so I would have some real doubts about that bill and the wisdom of it. I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
My stock question, what do you see ahead in the next week? What are you working on, and what should our viewers, listeners, and readers be paying attention to?
Well, I guess one answer I would have for that is as you all know, there seem to be a lot of vehicle bills that are out there, and I certainly want those taken care of. I'm not very pleased with the number of vehicle bills that we do have. There's always been a few that have been around, but this is way too many. I've talked to some of the committee chairs, haven't got to all of them yet, but I know that that's a priority to get something in them and get it out there so people can take a look at it for transparency purposes, or we just need to get rid of it if it can't be done. That would be a priority to get that done so everybody knows what's out there.
I guess I would say in the Senate in the coming week we'll have the Deadwood Gaming on the floor. That'll be an interest to many, I believe, as well as just continuing to work on those revenue numbers and see where our priorities are. And we're continuing discussions in the Senate of where we're at for our budget priorities.
And I don't know if it's going to be next week, but I'll be interested to see if the free speech bill on for colleges, if that clears the full House, and where that comes and how that will where that all plays out, I think, is of interest to lots of folks.
Sports betting in Deadwood. One of the opponents of the bill or of the resolution said that he would prefer it to be statewide as opposed to solely Deadwood and tribal casinos. I wondered if you have views on that at all and what they are.
You go ahead.
I guess at this point I'm only interested in giving that ability to Deadwood to make them there was discussion about the fact that it is going on in the state. We do know that sports betting is going on, so to me if we have more regulations around that and can oversee that, I think that's a good thing. I think, you know, the voters approved gaming in Deadwood, and so I don't see it as an expansion of gambling. I see it as another option. I think if you're on a tour bus and you want that option to bet on a sports game, I personally don't see that as an expansion of gambling. Now, if we did that statewide, I would probably change my mind on that. So that's kind of where I'll leave that.
I'll just comment on that as well. I think if you're interested in generating revenue, then it has to become a statewide thing. Now, that obviously makes it much more controversial as far as the regulation of it and its presence in many different places. But I'm just convinced totally that it'll be a nice little, if it passes and the voters want it, its impact on the revenue of South Dakota will be negligible if it's confined just to Deadwood. So that's going to have to be a value judgment that people are going to make. If you want revenue, you're going to have to make it statewide. But that also will increase the controversy of the discussion.
I guess I look at it as it is an extension or expanding gambling, and I'm not in favor of it, so I would just soon see it go away for Deadwood or any place. That's where I'm at with it.
Any word on talks about the utility territory? I'm hearing talks that it might end up in a summer study.
Yeah, thanks for that question. I believe that is the direction that they're going. There's a lot of parameters that need to be set with that, but I think both sides realize that it's too complex of an issue maybe to deal with this session. I believe those bills will be withdrawn and we'll move forward with some sort of task force, summer study, that kind of thing is my understanding.
Just wondering, there's a bill going through to do the Spanish language driver's license test, and there was some talk at the committee that it may be changed just because that may not be the right avenue for other language speakers, and just wondering if there's any talk of changing the bill or anything like that at this point.
I do believe in the Senate we have at least one senator working on some amendments to try to please all the parties involved. So I think you may be seeing that. I'm not sure where that's at in the process, but yeah.
Will there be a veto override vote today, or will that be later on?
They Thank you. Yes, I believe there will be. We will sustain the governor's veto. The Public Utilities Commission has not come out against this. They agree with the governor's decision for the most part, I believe, and so that would be our intent to sustain the veto.
We've been told that the governor has come to the leadership and expressed some concerns with how things are going this session. Can you talk about maybe what those concerns were and how you reacted?
Well, we had a good dialogue back and forth, and I believe we've got that ironed out, taken care of. A lot of misunderstanding, a lot of, you know how this can be a lot of rumors floating around in this building. I think all the walls have ears, so to speak. And it was a good dialogue back and forth. We've had good dialogue since, and I think we're working very well moving forward.
Things are moving smoothly in the Senate. I'll just leave it at that, and hopefully that continues.
The House Education Committee had a bill yesterday or a couple days ago about teaching about gender dysphoria in the classroom. That was amended about talking about gender identity or gender expression. Do you believe that bill is workable? Do you think it has the ability to advance through the full House?
Well, I'm sure it's something that we'll have a lot of discussion on the floor, and we'll just have to see how it goes. I have not listened to the testimony yet in committee, so I don't know. I don't believe I want to make any comments until I see what's listened to that. So.
Do you have any questions from callers on the phones?
Speaking of the House Education Committee, we had other high-profile bills. The one on intellectual diversity on college campuses, which was opposed by the Board of Regents. That was one. I'm wondering the caucus's views on that since it's out of committee now, as well as the governor's bill to require citizenship tests for high school graduation.
As far as the, you know, I guess we're calling the free speech bill, that's easier to say. I think there's a lot of support for that. I believe our colleges are better than a lot of places. But with that said, I know there's still issues out there as far as free speech, you know, depending on whether you're liberal, conservative, where the philosophies are. And I think we can make this better. I was the one that initially sent out the questionnaire to the Board of Regents, and I got a 450-page response back from something I didn't think needed quite that much. So the second letter was sent out, got 130 pages back. Well, that's a lot to deal with, and I understand it's a very complex subject. I get that, but I think what we've got is something that's very workable going forward. I know they oppose it. I think there'll be a lot of support in the House with that. The civics, I think that's a lot of support there. I believe that will definitely come out of the House.
Yeah, I'll just comment on those as well. I know that the Board of Regents worked very diligently this last year, even though they had a new leader come on board to deal with a number of the concerns that were expressed in last session concerning some of these issues. You know, for the colleges, you got to balance. These are educational institutions with a particular purpose. They're not like the, I think it's called Speaker's Corner in Hyde Park in London, where people just stand and talk. And it's colleges are much more than that. But by the same token, there has to be an ability for a wide diversity of views to be expressed on campus without, I would say, some kind of fear of retribution. So, you know, I'm kind of taking an open mind on it. I do want to applaud the Regents, though, for making, I believe, a genuine good faith effort to move forward from where they were previously. On the civics, I think we're going to make some progress there. I'm, generally speaking, supportive of the governor's effort to require the test, the citizenship test, to be passed. I know I think there was actually a vote this morning in House Education on that, or some discussion on that. I don't know how it came out, but there'll be some other, I think, efforts to work to promote civics education in the state, and you'll probably hear about that in the next couple of weeks. And I think we're gonna, I think that's one area where there's going to be some genuine progress made and a lot of goodwill to work together.
I guess, how is the intellectual diversity bill different than what was talked about last year? Because I thought last year the compromise with the Board of Regents was for them to look at their free speech policy and update it. I was at the Board of Regents meeting where they did that in Rapid City, where they were talking about it and updating it. I guess, how is this different than what was talked about last year and what they adopted over the summer?
Yeah, and I'll just say, Lee, I don't. I haven't really looked at the House bill yet. I'm waiting till it clears, so I'll just have to evaluate it, look at it. I think it's probably similar with perhaps some differences, but I just need the time to evaluate that. And so, if it clears the House, we'll be looking at it very, very intently.